All right. Yeah, it is, ain't it? Man, God's good. Got me up, got me out of bed, put breath back in me. Yeah. I didn't do none of that stuff this morning. I didn't think one time, well, let me start breathing, let me start kicking, let me start moving. It was already pre-programmed and happening. I don't know if y'all keeping up with the news much. I brought notes. I never bring notes, you know that, right? But I've been watching the news. Young men, young ladies, about this Supreme Court guy. I don't know if he did this stuff. I wasn't there. I don't know if he did it or he didn't. But I do know that because of things he did do, he went to parties. He got drunk every now and then. I don't know how much or how little. But because of these things, people have reason to accuse him. I want you to understand, young man, young lady, you have a right to go to all these things if you want to. You can sin all you want to. This man, 35 years later, he went to a party. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, I don't know. But his whole life is in the balance right now for something he did or did not do, according to his idea or her idea, 35 years later. Very easily, somebody could walk through the door and do me the same thing. And probably any one of you guys. What did you do 35 years ago? What was your intent? What were you had on your mind when you did this, that, or the other? And get judged in the world's arena. If you will, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm trying to find it. Somebody moved it. Thank you, brother. That was encouraging. It's contained in the New Testament. That's what I was just told. Ephesians chapter 2. And my Bible is on page 1723. It may be on a different page in your Bible, so you hunt it until you find it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, and hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Let's start back at the beginning there. So it says here, and you hath He quickened. Now I understand that you weren't walking around as a corpse, dead in the body, but in the spirit you were a graveyard dead. And people don't get a hold of that. They think they were sick. They were sort of a little ill. They were had a little ability. But the term here, you hath he quickened that were dead, means there was no ability in you. There was nothing in you that was able to come to God without God doing something prior to that coming. And I know people get all twisted up with that stuff, but my Bible says, according to His mercy, He hath saved us by the washing of renewing and then by the Holy Ghost. So in other words, His work caused my belief. His work caused my faith. There's a lot of people say, well, man, you had to believe before He would do something. If that had been the case, I would have never been saved. I would have never got there. Now, I'm not saying I know how it works, but I do know this. I was dead, unable, with no ability, without no hope, without Christ, and God working in a dead man caused life. Now, wherein in time past, that means before salvation. Before salvation. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, like the devil's folks do, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. I was like them. I acted exactly like them, but I wasn't never one of them. Now that's another story we can get into with a lot of folks, but I never was a devil's child. I acted like a devil's child. You couldn't have told me for a difference. I was a tear in the wheat and you couldn't tell the difference. And we see here, wherein in time past I walked. And if you will, go to Romans chapter 1 real quick. I'm going to show you some stuff here in Romans chapter 1, starting about verse 21. This is the way we all were, to an extent. Maybe not all of us as depraved as others. Because depravity doesn't mean I was as bad as I could have been. Depravity means I was as bad as I needed to be. Depravity means that my whole body was saturated with sin. My whole body was overcome by sin. I was led and guided by my sinful nature up until Christ intervened. It says here, wherein in time past I walked according to the course of this world. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. And use your imagination, there's statues everywhere. Everywhere there are people bowing down to all kind of creatures and creatures and people and statues and monuments, and everywhere you go, rocks and formations. Oh, look how great, now worship and praise. Man did that with the wickedness of their imagination. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. In other words, God says, you want to be a sinner? You want to get worse? You want to get worse? You want to get worse? Just have all the fun you want to have. I'm not going to sit here and hold you down like a robot and make you march the march and walk the walk. People say, well, if you believe in Jesus the way y'all believe in Jesus, you're a robot. No, I'm not. I mess up plenty. I'm not a robot. Believe me, I don't get everything like this just the way He wants it. I mess up. But it says here, who were God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Your heart makes you want to do these things. God didn't make you do this. I didn't make you do this. Your own heart is twisted and wicked and ungodly, is what it says, the natural man. It says, uncleanness through the lust of your own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Uh-oh. Sex is rampant. Sex is going on. These people that we were just talking about prior to the start up here, we don't know what they were doing back there. And neither one of them is going to tell the truth about the whole matter anyways. Their bodies were rampant. Their sexual drives were rampant. They were doing what lustful people do under the influences of their own lust, of their own bodies, and with a little help from some alcohol. Believe me, when I tell y'all, you better watch out about alcohol, drugs, and stuff like that. What parties you go to, where you hang out, what you do with. You may not think it's doing anything wrong. Well, I wasn't drinking. But you were there. And sooner, 35 years later, you just might be called up to testify. What were you doing there? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Do you love anything more than God? That's what you do if you're not saved. You love your world. You love your stuff. I had to repent this morning. Somebody told me I had to be content with the things I got. My tires on my Jeep ain't big enough yet. And you're telling me I got to be happy with my little tires. Shame on me. But that's the truth. We're not happy. My tires ain't big enough. My motor ain't big enough. My muffler ain't loud enough. We just ain't never satisfied. My speakers on my thing don't boom, boom, boom enough. We just ain't content. We're just not happy. Then it says, they didn't bless the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. And for this cause, God gave them unto vile affections. He didn't cause you to do these vile affections. He says, I just won't restrain you from them. I'll just let you do what you want to do. If you want to have that, if you're just hell-bent on going to hell, I'll just let you do it. And he says, who gave them over vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, we brought that up this morning, leaving the natural use of the woman and burning in their lust one toward another. Y'all know what that means. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Man with woman brings forth love, brings forth help, and it brings forth children. Two men together don't bring forth nothing. Two women together don't bring forth nothing except disgustedness. God is not pleased with that. But that doesn't mean that they're worse than us. Let's keep on reading here. I mean, that's bad. That's terrible. What they're doing ain't right. Well, let's just keep on going, because we're talking about the way we used to walk. You say, well, I didn't do that. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let's keep on going. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of the error of their way. That's called diseases and sicknesses and things that goes on with those kind of things. You do men with men and stuff like that. There's AIDS and STDs, and you name it, comes out there. Those diseases come. And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds. They're going to do just what they're going to do unless God intervenes. Unless God steps in and stops them, they have been given over to reprobate minds. I don't know who God's going to save, but I do know that He doesn't save those who are destined to be lost forever. It says here, being filled with all unrighteousness. Which one of us could say we were full of righteousness all of our life? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Even the whisperer. Man, do we got some tales going on? Let me tell you what I saw so-and-so doing with such-and-such. Even the whisperers are ungodly. And then it says, backbiters. Boy, that's our whole government right there. Haters of God, that's our whole government right there. That's even the whole nation, the whole world. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Boy, that even catches every one of us, don't it, someplace or another? Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, whom knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do. They just love their sin. They just like their sin. And let's just turn over a page here. Let's go to chapter 3. And we'll start there in Romans chapter 3. In verse 9 it says, what then? Are we better than they? We were just like them. We were just like them. Those who were be saved when we walked our course, when we walked by the nature, the way we were done, we walked just like the children of disobedience. What shall we say then? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. There's not a single soul in here that can stand before God and say, I'm sinless. Nobody. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They have all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You say, brother, I thought you was going to preach. You're just reading the Bible. Well, I think it's pretty good stuff. It says here, their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues, they have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Have we not seen that on the news? All these people just tearing each other apart, one side against the other. And if we want to think, well, one side's right, they ain't neither side right. They're all deceitful. They're all despicable. They all are ultimately corrupt. And the ones that they claim to be Christian, I saw the man say, do you swear before God to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And the man said, I do. Which God did he swear before, though? I don't know. Is he truly saved? Or is he not truly saved? If he was truly saved, then maybe he swore between the right God. But it says in my Bible, all men are liars. My God forgives sin. It says here, destruction and misery are in their way. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no... Oh, there it is. We used that this morning. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Wherefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Whew, I better get out of that. Nope, we're going to go so farther. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not in, of, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. All them that believe are just alike. All are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, I can't get up there and say, look, God, I came to you and believed. And he's going to say, really? You couldn't have unless I did something to you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we're back in Ephesians. I know that was a side trip for you. It says, wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, we were just like them. We cannot stand here and look out there at the world and say, look at all those disgusting people, because we were saved from people just like that. We were just like... That's why when we look out to go witness or whatever, oh, I'm not going down that street. Those people are so terrible. Really? Were they not like some of us? Do they not deserve the grace of God like some of us? Or at least the gospel of peace like we got? I don't know whether they deserve to be saved or not, but I do know they deserve to have the gospel of preached to them. And then it says, among whom? Among whom doesn't say everybody. It says, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, our lust and our flesh and our pride and all the things that boil up inside of us because of our sin made us act and do just like they did. In fact, if God had not made the difference, we'd still be acting just like they are. They haven't changed. They're still doing it. You can watch TV, you can watch the news, you can watch anything you want. People are full of their own lust. Oh, we should have this law that says men can live with men and women can live with women and they need to have the right to be married, and now women can be preachers and now they can do this. Just throw God out the window totally. Let's make it legal to be illegal. Let's make it legal to kill babies. Let's make it legal for two men to live together. Let's make it legal for two women to live together. Therefore, if it's not illegal, God can't have a problem with it, right? I don't think God changed his mind here. I don't think he did. It says, among whom we also had our conversation, While we were lost, all those things sounded fairly good to us. I can remember when I was a young man and they were talking about all this. Well, as long as they don't try to do something with me, I don't care what they do. I mean, you know, you come rub on my leg, I'm going to punch you out. But as long as you rub it on his leg and they okay, it's okay. No, it's not really okay. But that's how lost men think. As long as they're not trying to make me do drugs or make me do this or make me do that. And I was thinking about sin this morning. I don't know how many of you guys ever smoked. I'm talking about cigarettes now. But the very first cigarette you smoked, I'm going to be real manly. I'm going to smoke. Near about throwed up. Coughed yourself half to death. See, when sin first gets you, when you first break that law the first time, it near about chokes you to death. It near about wears you out and say, man, that was terrible. I feel bad about it. It made me sick. It hurt my lungs. It made me cough. But if the sin didn't bother you enough, you'll go back and get another cigarette a few days later or maybe a week or so, and then you'll... Not quite as bad. I can tolerate this. And pretty soon you can... And just suck it down. Blow your smoke rings and all those things. Look at me. I've whooped this sin and now I can stand in front of you and show you just how great I can smoke and the little rings go up. Look at that. I'm proud of my sin, right? That's how sin does you. It kills you at first. It stifles you at first. And then you get a little bit better at it. And better. And pretty soon you can stand in front of the whole world and blow your little smoke rings and show how good you are at this thing. And pretty soon sin brings death. Whew. Didn't know I was going there. Anyways. I may not be through with that. I'm going to come back to that. I had a thought again. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, there's the difference. I didn't make a difference. You didn't clean up your act. You didn't smush out that carton of cigarettes and say, I'll never touch it again. I'm whooping that sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Remember in Peter, He's long-suffering to usward. Not the themward, to the usward. Not willing that any of usward should perish. God is long-suffering for those who He's going to call out. For those He's going to sanctify. For those He's going to glorify. You say, but brother, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. I don't need to know what you've done. But I do know that if God calls you out, He will forgive you of what you have done. In fact, on the cross, He already did forgive you for what you have done. He became sin. He became our sin on that cross in our place, that even while we're or whatever other sin we may be just waving in front of Him. You remember a guy back in Corinthians? I'm going to really stretch this out for you. Who brung his daddy's wife to church. Talk about sin. Sat her probably on the front row. I'm here with my daddy's wife. We're having relations. And those guys were so used to being so happy that they were here. Paul says, man, you need to tell those guys to straighten up. You need to kick them out of the service until they get right, until they ask for repentance. And yet sin could come right on in. And maybe daddy was a member of the church too. That would be really awkward. You've got daddy here, the wife here, and the son here, and they're all doing whatever they're doing. And that doesn't mean I never know if she was saved or not. It never says. It never says if daddy was saved or not. But the man supposedly was a saved man. And they says, take him out of the services until he repents. And in the next book of Corinthians, he repents. And they says, bring him back in. Not because of what he's done and not because of what they have done, but because of the love of God, bring him back in. And they says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He have loved us. Man, He loved me when I was terrible. He loved me when I was ungodly. He loved me when I was His enemy. He loved me when I was wicked and undone. For His great love wherein He hath loved us. All those who believe. All those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Even when we were dead. Believe me, I was as dead as I get. Spiritually, I was dead. Spiritually, the things of God made me angry. Spiritually, the things of God went against my grain. Spiritually, the things of God were constraining me because I couldn't stand being that straight line. And if you're honest, it was constraining you too. And it says, wherein we were dead in sins. Not just sin, but sins. Our sin was in Adam. He fell. We fell. We died. But we didn't just stick with the one He did. We added to it. We started making statues and idols and bowing down to football players and baseball players and race car drivers and you name it. And football teams and basketball teams and lions and tigers and gators and stuff like that. Yeah, the gators are in there too. They worship those things like they just going out of style. Man, we can't live without a gator game. Oh, man. We were dead in sins. But God hath quickened us together with Christ. Oh, that God would quicken somebody in this place. Oh, that God would quicken somebody on that street out there today. Oh, that God would get a hold of somebody. And I know He is somewhere. God has never quit saving folks. That God would quicken somebody and place them in the body of Christ even today. Hath quickened us together with Christ. As He says, He brought God, Jesus Christ, back to life from the grave. Quickened Him, brought Him back to life from the grave. He also, us who are in Christ, have been quickened together with Christ. What He lives, we lives. Some people tell me I don't speak good English, but I'm sorry. And hath raised us. He didn't leave me. He didn't just say, I'm going to sort of save you and just leave you wallowing around there without any kind of help. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. That's why we come to church. That's why we come and praise God. Because we're in this together as Christians, as brothers, as the body of Christ. It says, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Believe it or not, God already sees me finished. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He sees you finished. Oh, I skipped the thing on my notes here. John 3:18. Let's check out John 3:18 real quick because I just like things like that. You notice when Jesus said in John 3, He says, you must be born again, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You see in that chapter where He ever told Nicodemus how to be born again? Never. He told him he must, but He didn't tell him how. And I love these preachers. Now, if you'll do this, or you'll do that, then God will born you again. Well, if that be the case, why didn't Jesus say that right here? Jesus never told him how to be born again. He said the Spirit goes and does what it wants to when it wants to go do it. But in verse 18 it says, this is for all us, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You don't have to do nothing to get lost. You don't have to do nothing to get to hell. All you have to do is not believe. Just keep going the way you're going. Fight the fight. Be angry with God. Just keep kicking against the pricks. It ain't hard to be a Christian. Just believe and follow. I understand the consequences. I'm not going to get into all the causes, but the simple part is believe and be saved. All coming to me. Coming to me. I don't know who the comers are. Then in verse 36 it says, he that believeth on the Son hath what? Everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Believe me, brother, sister, if you're an unbeliever, God's wrath is already coming. It's on the way. You can't get away from it outside of Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ. Then we move on. It says, hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come might show the exceeding riches of his grace. I was walking around like the child of a devil. Just like him. Doing the things the devil does. And one day Jesus Christ stepped in my way. One day Jesus Christ opened up my eyes and said, if you keep acting like that, you're going to split hell wide open. The fear of God that's been talked about. One day God stepped in front of me and showed me the fear of God, the fear of judgment in reality. I knew about the fear of God, but in reality I saw myself in hell. In reality, I saw myself in fire. In reality, I saw myself like the rich man. In these flames, I am tormented. That's what being saved is all about. You saw yourself where you're going. And then you saw the hope. The hope. It says, the exceeding riches. Can you imagine how much it cost God to save one of us? The exceeding riches of his glory. To take the very precious Son of God, place him on a tree, have him whipped, have him beaten, have thorns placed on his head, have his beard plucked out, have his face crushed in by people's fists, and place the most precious thing that God had on that cross to save folks like us. The exceeding riches. The precious blood, which is worth more than silver or gold or diamonds or rubies or jewels. There's nothing that you've got in your back pocket that's worth what the blood of Jesus Christ was going to give. For by grace. Not because you're good. Not because you deserve it. Not because you're ever going to get better. But for by grace you're saved. Just because he wants to. Just because he can. Just because he's able. For by grace are you saved through faith. Have you become faithful in Jesus Christ? Have you become to the place where you understand Christ died for you? Have you understood that without that faith you will split hell wide open? For by grace are you saved through faith. Has God given you that faith you need to believe? In that, not of yourselves. You didn't come up with this. When they were in the boat crossing the lake, and the waves were coming in, the storm was coming in, and they said, Jesus, wake up, please, we're dying. I know they were shaking him like that. Don't you care for us? And he looked at them and he says, where is y'all's faith? In other words, if y'all had some faith, you wouldn't be worried about all this stuff, but your little bit of faith can't even get you across the lake. Peace. Be still. I don't know if you've ever been on water, but the wind can quit blowing, but the waves don't stop. But it says that the winds ceased and the waves stopped. Don't you understand? Jesus Christ is in total control of everything. There's no man, woman, or child that can outdo what God can do if he wants to do it. We don't stop salvation. If he wants to effectually call someone out, he has the power to do it. We don't sit up there, well, we're just going to hold him back and I'm going to refuse till I just ain't going to do it. If he wants you, if you're one of them he's calling, you'll do it. You'll do it. You'll come. When that effectual call, you may not think it's effectual then, but it's sure going to be effectual later. When you understand just what he did for you, you'll say, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I repent sooner? Why didn't I get saved sooner? I know that's all in God's providence and stuff like that. I understand that. But when you look back, you say, why didn't I just get a hold of this stuff earlier? Before I did this and this and this and this. Before maybe you had to stand in front of a congressional meeting someday and say, well, 35 years ago, I don't know why I did that. I can't remember. Can you remember why you did something 35 years ago? How about yesterday, last week, last month? Y'all thought I was finished, didn't you? For we, those who believe, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. This wasn't a work of us. This wasn't of our ability. That wasn't, I'm going to place myself into the body of Christ, I'm going to act like I'm religious, and I'm going to read my Bible, and therefore God must save me. No. This is, we are His workmanship. If you're in here reading, studying, praising God, worshiping and all that, it's a work of God. It didn't just happenstance. It's a work of God. God has done something to you that He didn't do for somebody else. And if you'll really read the Bible, you say, well, that ain't fair, Charlie. He picked out Abraham and made a nation. He saved a whole nation to do a thing, to have a Messiah, to have a Savior. He didn't do it for everybody else. Some people say, well, that's just totally unfair. He can do what he wants. I don't have a fair verse in here. If you find me a fair verse, show it to me. There's one single verse. God must be fair at all times. Nope. The Bible says He's always righteous. He's always right. He's always holy. And He doesn't come down to our standards to do His business. He never comes down to where He's under our bar of rule. The bar is already up there. Everything Jesus does or God does is righteous and holy always. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Before, when I did things good, before I was saved, I had a motive. I had a plan. I had an ulterior thing going on. I'm going to do this nice thing so maybe they'll give me a tip or something else might happen. But after salvation, I do good things just because I'm saved. Not to get saved. Not to stay saved, but because I am saved. And then it says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ and being aliens from the commonwealth. We didn't have a hope in the world. At least if we'd have been Jews, we'd have been under the commonwealth. At least if we'd have been Jews, we'd have had the oracles and the laws and the rules and the hand of God the Father says, these are mine no matter what. But we were Gentiles. And at some point in time, God says, my Son's going to save Jews and Gentiles. But before He saved us, we didn't even have what the Jews have. We didn't even have the protection that goes to the Jewish nation because we were aliens. We were outside those things. We were outside the rules and we were outside the ordinances and we were outside the promises other than the promise that is, whosoever shall come to Christ. We were in Christ. I didn't know I was in Christ till I got saved. And neither did any of you. But the Jewish nation, they know about rules and laws and books and things. Look, if we do blah, 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 blah. But Gentiles didn't have that kind of rule book. It says here, we were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants and the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, there's always a good but. Now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off. I didn't say you were as bad as you could have been. I didn't say you was terrible, terrible, terrible. You didn't have to do nothing but tell one thing to your parents wrong or disobey your parents. You didn't have to do nothing but tell a little, what they would call, what does it, a white lie. If there's a such thing as a white lie, I don't know. It says, you were sometimes far off. It didn't mean you had to be a murderer or a Hitler or a Stalin. It just says you were a sinner. Ye who sometimes were far off, that doesn't excuse your sin. Your sin was enough to get you in hell. Your sin was enough to cause you to get cast down. Ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh, brought close to God. Brought into God by the blood of Christ. Oh, believe on that blood. Oh, believe in what Christ has done. Oh, put your faith in Jesus Christ. For He is our peace. He is our peace. Whether you be a Jew, whether you be a Gentile, whatever race, nationality you are, if you're outside of Christ, you have no peace. You have no protection. You have no coverage. It says, for He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the wall of partition between. There's no veil between us and God the Father no more. There's Jesus Christ. He is our propitiation. He is our direct line to God Himself. When God sees me, He doesn't see me in my naturalness. When He looks at you, He doesn't see you that way. He sees you through the blood of Christ. When He looks at me, He looks at Christ. Because I am in Christ. If you're not in Christ, when He looks at you, He's got anger and disdain and wrath. But because of what Christ has done, my sins have been forgiven. My iniquities have been forgiven. My chastisement has been taken care of by the One who bore it on the cross. Everything I owed God as a penalty of sin, Jesus Christ took care of on that cross. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus Christ because of the blood. Now, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you haven't called for that blood to cover you, when God looks at you, He's angry. He's mad. He's full of wrath. That ain't what they tell me on TV. I'm sorry. TV preachers lie. Either you're in Christ and He loves you to the fullest. Now, I'm not saying He don't give you good stuff. He gives everybody good stuff, the good and the bad. You read the Bible, it's in there. The wicked and evil get their crops grow, the rain comes, the snow comes, everything happens. But if you're not in Christ Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you ever. Ever. It don't stop. He won't change His mind. He won't repent. As some people, He's not a man that He was, oh man, those were so such good folks. I got to change my mind there. I got to bring this few in. He won't do that. Oh, that you would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. That you would believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. If God has spoken to you this morning, or yesterday, or the day before, and told you that He has saved you, why don't you let us know? Why don't you come forward at the songs? In fact, Jesus said in one place, He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If He has saved you, don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. I know I had to walk the floor once myself, and the walking the floor didn't save me. Don't get me wrong. But to stand up in front of a bunch of guys like us and say, you know, I've been saved, it's a little nerve-wracking. If God has saved you, don't let what we think or say or whatever keep you from doing what you're supposed to do and telling us what God has done for you. Brother Keith.